mostly, which was, or the
second to last thing that we discussed, and that was near, just very quickly. So I think Moshe and Avrami, I think a bunch of you, brought to my attention, right, that first of all, that the Nose Kalim, we're trying to discuss, you know, the problem of near, right? We know what the, you know, basic issue is. There seems to be a steer in the Rama between Hilchos Mechira and Hilchos Sechiya Umatana. Basically, we suggested two approaches. I originally thought that was Alecha Mishnah and Rabbi Yoshua Hanagid. It could very well be that Mark is correct and that Rabbi Yoshua Hanagid means what the Lecha Mishnah also says, although it's a little bit misleading in terms of what he emphasizes. Either way, it triggered in my mind at least the thought that you know, maybe we could be mechalik in terms of b'fanav and shelo b'fanav when it comes to near. But two points just very quickly. So number one, the ha'ara was made that if you look carefully in the language of the Lecha Mishnah as well as the language of the Rabbi Yeshua Hanagid as quoted in the Kesa Mishnah, Hilchos Zechiya, because the Lecha Mishnah is in Hilchos Mechira, it sounds like the suggestion that they're making, which is that, you know, the distinction, you know, that the suggestion that they're making pretty much for Hilchos Zechiya, right, is that Hilchos Zechiya, the Rambam in Perek Beis, Halacha Gimel, and Dalid is actually distinguishing between, you know, Kinyan and Cheskas Gimel Shanim. And I think, you know, that's even clearer to me a little bit as looking at it, you know, in Rabbi Yoshua Hanagid. In other words, that when the Rambam says, you know, these words, Perek Beis, Halacha, you know, Gimel, Yesh Dvarim Rabim Shem Hichsek Bahem Alokeach Lo Kana Adayin, Dim Hichsek Bahem Bechem Mehem Nechse Ager Kiyotze Bahem Kana. And then you look in the way that Rabbi Yeshua Nagid is quoted, excuse me, so V'heshiv Zelashona Omru Yesh Dvarim Shem Hichsek Bahem Alokeach Eino Chozer, right, Eino, sorry, Chozer Ledin Halokeach Sodim Yechavero, the Hichzik Bafanov, Kazeyas Pikeu Kazaka Buetes, Amnam, Uchozer Alokeach, Shihzik Shalobifne Amocher, Vil Omerle Kazeko Kni, Kamo Din Mishachal, Soda Shnei Kazaka. So basically, there, the interpretation is that these words in the Rambam in Perek Beis already, Alokha Gimel, right, go on a contrast to Cheskas Gimel Shanim. Right, on one side, with all kinyanim, right, being on the other. Now, again, I think that's very, if that were to be true, you know, it is, again, sensational that the Rambam would be describing Cheskas Gimel Shanim as Hichsik, you know, Halokeach, Velo Kana Adayin.
Frank? Right?
That's what he's trying. Well, he's not trying to be kona for Gimel Shanim. I mean, that's still raya. I mean, he's still. I mean, the assume no one thinks ever that you can be kona through Gimel Shanim. I'll look at it again, but I don't think so. I think you think so because, again, you're rebelling a little bit, like I am, you know, against the language of kona. Right. But the idea that there is, you know, kinyan through Gimel Shanim without, taina, or that the taina is that the Gimel Shanim is the Davar HaKona ever, and that would ever be true, I think this doesn't exist anywhere in the Rambam, as far as I know. So I don't see it that way. I think what you'd have to say is that Kona, again, it's this, you know, I mean, like obviously, if it were to be true, then the point is that this comes from the Gemara, from the language of the Gemara, the Gemara's distinction. And basically, the Rambam would be reading, again, this half, the near half of the Gemara, as opposed to the, Peiros half of the Gemara, you know, as, which you know, as the distinction between Gimel Shanim. That part of it I'm okay with, that I think you have to say in the Rambam anyway, even the way I was interpreting the Rambam. But what they're saying is just one step beyond, and that is that, yeah, he's using that same terminology here in Hilchos Zechiyah. Maybe he thinks that you know the, you know, reference in the Gemara, and this is what it you know, refers to. I find it very difficult to accept that in the language of the Rambam. It's one thing, I think, to, you know, say that the Rambam felt that, you know, the Gemara is, you know, a little bit, you know, bedochak, but that the global evidence, you know, establishes, you know, that there's a distinction between Tzchiyah Matana and Mechira, and that, you know, when it comes to certain other things, that the distinction is more delicate, and that it's also between, you know, Kinyan and Raya. It's all, again, Mimana, either way, for the Rambam, all this is all, you know, on one continuum, in sharp, sharp, sharp contrast, not only to the Ravid, but even the Rajbam, for whom the word Nichse Hager is a way of saying Kinyanim, you know, to show all Kinyanim are different than, you know, Gimel Shanim. So I think for the Rambam to be able to parse the Gemara like that, you know, is already very mechudash, but it's doable. To say that in his precise, you know, writings of, you know, Hilchos Zechiyah, that's what he's talking about when he never uses that terminology in Torin Benitan, etc., I find that to be very difficult. So I'm satisfied with the Lechem Mishnah / Rabbi Yoshua Hanagid, you know, distinction. I just think, you know, that the interpretive part, meaning that's not what the Rambam is saying in Halacha Gimel. In Halacha Gimel, the Rambam is talking about the distinction between, you know, Hilchos Mechira and Hilchos Zechiyah. And these other, you know, Motzi Paltorin, Siad Bahem Sayad, Kir Bahem, Tzor Tzura, Matzia Matzoos, I think those are distinctions between Mechira and Zchiyo Matana. I think if the Rambam does read the Gemara the way, mostly the way that we were talking about, and that's why I also, you know, like the idea that maybe the distinction in terms of near between Mechira and Zchiyo Matana, even though I agree that that doesn't seem to be what I think he was tantalizing us, or maybe, I don't know, maybe you could say the language that he uses, you know, is, I think, triggers at least this other possibility, and that is that maybe there's a difference between, you know, near Bafanov and near Shalom Bafanov. But with regard to that, so what the, you know, what Moshe was asking me is, like, you know, do you see that anywhere in Hilchos, right, Mechira? So just for the record, you know, I think in Hilchos Mechira, and again, I was critical of Rabbi Yoshua because I thought he was saying this idea, and then I thought that he didn't say it fully because he was being machalik between Bafanov and Shalom Bafanov. What I'm really saying is that when it comes to Nir, you know, even Lechazeku Kni will not work Shalom Bafanov because of the, you know, more challenging Raya, you know, aspect of it. But I think if you look carefully in the Rambam in Hilchos Mechira in the beginning, it does seem clear to me, at least, that when it comes to Mechira, Bafanov is the default. And Shalom Bafanov, you know, Al Yidei Lechazeku Kni is the overcompensation. Which means that typically, when he describes cases, the assumption is that we're dealing with, in Mechira, you know, with Bafanov. And of course, that is, you know, what creates this hierarchy, you know, with Zchiyah Matana, because Zchiyah Matana, obviously there's never a Bafanov, and there's no Lech Hazeku Kni. So, on the other hand, you don't need the Lech Hazeku Kni, because you're not, you know, taking it away from someone. The dynamic of how your Mora Hora, just anyways, what I was trying to say, the way that your Mora Hora's Bailos is just different in, you know, when there is a previous owner or a rival, you know, and when there's not. So what basically I'm saying is that there are like three levels. There's the default, which is Bafanov, and that's a, you know, that's the Hilchos Mechira
you know, fundamental category. Ketzav b'chazaka, machar l'bayis oseda onasan osamatana, kim shenol agadar parts, kol shevuhu shiol b'maisav harezakana. And then it's b'medvar mamurim b'shehichzik b'fnei amocher. Abol shelo b'fnei amocher, oanosein, tzorach shiyomar lechazek ukni. B'achakach, im hichzik, kana afapi she'eno b'fnei abayim.
So I think that the Rambam, again, this is all just instinct. I think that the way that he formulates it, and the fact that he repeats it several times, you know, there's like a certain like impression that the Rambam has a discomfort, you know, with anything other than b'fanav. Like that's a b'fanav. If you do lechazeku kni, and you do the chazaka, even though it's not b'fanav, this is all gratuitous. You know, he could say this, you know, with half the ink. And he could have said it just, you know, in a different way anyway. He could have just, you know, made it clear that, you know, there are two ways, and they're like two, they're the same. But I think they're not. And especially if they're not, if lechazeku kni is like a way of compensating for lack of b'fanav, the idea that it, and for the reasons that we're explaining, then the idea that it would potentially not work in all cases, like where intrinsically the, you know, the tikkun b'gufa davar or the baisa b'gufa davar is also very questionable, you know, as a horos bailus, like near is. So the idea that, oh, there are going to be a couple of cases where, you know, you're going to need like the ideal, you know, horos bailus kazaka to compensate for the quality, you know, the muetes, let's call it, to use the language of Rabbi Yeshua Nagid. So I think that then, when you get to like halacha, hamocha lechaveir, I think it's again very beduyak that halacha tezayin, when it talks about peros and nir, is dafka b'fana. Right. Frankly, I wonder, you know, whether or not peros would work shalom b'fanav, right? Even with lechazei kukni. Again, this isn't, I can't prove this, but I'm wondering it, you know, if the rest of what I'm saying, you know, is true. In halacha tezvav, it's not so clear, but in halacha tezayin, which is tzana de peri, that's of course b'fanav, that's the whole point of it, right? But it's interesting that the near halacha is in the tzana de peri halacha. Hamocher karka lechaveiro v'nichnas ba halokeach, right, v'zara onara, o she'asa peros ha'ilan, right, o zamro mekokiyotza b'dvarim olu, harei zekana, she'harei hichzik ve'ein echad mehem yachal achzimo. So it's all nichnas ba lokeach, right, in the karka, and v'chein amasaf hamocher is the tzad of the peri part. Sal shal peres v'nasan l'lokeach, kana lokeach miad b'chazaka, shegila daita, shehikmil osadazu, kinin gamur, v'nasa paroseha shalom. So I get, I'm just curious, like what would be if there was, you know, lechazeku kni, and then you had, I'm wondering about it. Okay, either way, so that is how I'm suggesting, you know, to read that, you know, that halacha tazayin, and especially in light of the earlier emphasis about the relationship between lechazeku kni and not, is that the Rambam really holds, you know, that the, you know, these aren't two equal ways to accomplish this goal. Like, there's a default way, a more, you know, ideal way, and then there's the ability to compensate or overcompensate, you know, for the absence of that, and maybe that doesn't really apply in all cases, and that's the pshat in near as well. Yeah.
And there's the clarifying. If you have matano, we're saying the Rambam is contrasting. Near works by ger, but it doesn't work.
Near works by ger in all cases, and it doesn't work. Near works by ger where there is no b'fanav,
right,
and that's a chiddush. Meaning, according to the standards of Hilchos Mechira, near should only work, let's say, b'fanav.
That's what he's saying. It doesn't work if it's shelo b'fanav.
Correct.
In Mechira. If it's b'fanav, it still does work.
Correct. I mean, it's clear that it works in Bechir. That's the problem
right,
with it.
Right.
What do you do with the Gemara? Like, how can the Gemara sustain that chiluk? I still think you need to say something like what the Lecha Mishnah, you know, what... I think there's no way out of that. I mean, in the end of the day, there's an objective issue here. right? Or two objective questions. Number one, this seems to be a straight-out steer in the Rambam about Nir, which we're working hard to try to figure out. I just think that I think you're right in what you're reading in the Lacha Mishnah and Rabbi Yeshua Nagid. I just think I can't abide that in Hilchos Zechiyah. So that's one stira that we, you know, are speculating about. We're not making up the problem. The problem is objectively present, and we're trying to, you know, understand it. Then there's a second question, that is, whatever you want to say, like, how do you, you know, there's still a split kind of reading of the Gemara. Because the Achilas Peros part, for sure, and the simple, you know, reading of the Gemara, for sure, is much better, you know, for the Rambam, you know, than for the Rashbam. And it's clear that, you know, is, together with the other evidence, you know, including the double use of sign of the Peros and so on and so forth, and the Yerushalmi, you know, which may have influenced the Rambam. The Yerushalmi spoke about last year a lot, you know, about the relationship between the Siras Mafteach and Peros and so on and so forth. And that distinction also between finding its roots in the Yerushalmi, you know, in terms of that look. So in the end of the day, you still have a split reading of the Gemara makes two distinctions between Nichse Ager and Chavero. One is Nir, the other one is Achilas Peros. In Achilas Peros, it's totally clear, you know, that we are distinguishing, and the Rambam's having the best read, you know, you could ever have possibly in the Gemara. The only wrinkle being the context of the Mishnah and so on being more Cheskes Gimel Shanim, but you know, we can live with that. Not only live with that, we can appreciate that also because it's still at the continuum. And at the end of the day, when it comes to Nir, there is some distinction, you know, that actually seems to be, you know, applicable. Again, unless you read it that other way, but then I think you're putting a lot in Tzchiya that doesn't really ring true for the Rambam's care and how he formulates us. So anyway, this is the approach. I have one other Pa'ara. This Pa'ara comes a little bit from Avrami, right? Yeah? That's why I'm giving the right people credit here. Regarding the Rambam's formulation in the Hilchos Tohen, correct? Which is, oh, that was also Moshe? No, that was Avrami. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's like a Musar Sefer going on here. Yeah, go ahead. Avrami? It's a very good Ha'ara. Meaning the Gemara, what's the background of the discussion of Nir, as a number of you pointed out, right? The Gemara has a machlokus regarding Nir and Cheskes Gimel Shanim. Right, let's just read that Gemara, just get it on the record very quickly. Lamed, what do we say? Lamed Vav Amud Beis? For the bottom of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. Because the Mishnah says, Rabbi Shmuel says, Gimel Chadashim, right? You could sometimes have, you know, three seasons instead of three, you know, years for Cheskes Gimel Shanim. Yeah? So what does the Gemara say? Lema nir rika binayu. You have it there?
Yes.
All right. So lema nir rika binayu. Right? Rabbi Shmuel Savanir lo hava chazaka, Rabbi Kiva Savanir hava chazaka. So wow, that's already... Now here at Torah, we're talking about Cheskes Gimel Shanim, and that's clear. Those are pretty big guns, as they say, right? You know, these are the titans of, you know, Kufas HaTanaim, right? Very humbling. Okay, Avrami, go ahead. The Tisbra. Yep. Okay, so again, look, I don't want to get into the timing question, but they're saying, oh, if Nir is a chazaka, then it should also be that you don't require, you know, a full year for it, right? Because it's a more, you know, more limited action. So those two things are connected. I'm not interested in the first point at the moment. I am interested in Nir. So go ahead. Tanarabanan,
Nir in a chazaka.
Okay, then again, just you to see, it's like a big issue. Amar Rav Ashi. Oh, this is what the Rashbam was quoting, you know, on Nun Zion. So what does that mean, actually? Here's where Avrami's good hara comes in. What does the Gemara mean?
I mean, the Gemara means that there's no benefit from the Ma'arif perspective. Ma'arif gets benefit, and therefore...
Right, his shtika basically is not compelling because, you know, he'll let the guy do all the work and then he'll capitalize on that. Look at Rashi, Rashbam just for a second. Kol shiva v'shiva tekar b'leil ba. Go ahead. Kol kispim shebim achresha. Machrashasa, right. They'll swoop in, you know, you can almost see the guy like swooping in, you know. Okay. And my time at Demandam are near Loa Bechazaka? That's what it is. Okay, good.
Yeah.
And then Sholcholei, then the question is, what's the psak? You know, B'nei Pum Nahara, the Rav Nachman, Yomdein Rabbeinu, right, near Abachazaka, Loa Bechazaka, all the Kol Gedori Ador, Abachazaka, right, and then, you know, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, Beretz Yisrael, Amrin Yer, Lo Abachazak, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, Masni. Okay, back and forth, you know, down to the two dots. Though, but the Ha'ara of Avrami's good Ha'ara was that if you look at the Rambam in Perek, what is it, Yud Beis, Halacha Tes, you have it there? The Rambam paskins that near Lo Hava Chazaka when it comes to Cheskes Kibbul Shanim, okay, which is part of our, you know, discussion. That part, you know, for sure, that's okay. We're just debating with the other Nosa Kalim, or at least I am, you know, what about, you know, is there any, you know, difference between Nitzay Ager and Mechira? Is there a limit in Mechira? And then that limit wouldn't be, you know, Shalom B'Fanav B'li Lechazei Gukni. It would be Shalom B'Fanav, in this case, even with Lechazei Gukni. Okay. So that part is fine, but the Lashon Rambam, go ahead, Avrami. Yeah, he puts it onto the machzik, you know, rather than the riot studies of the shtika samarakam. So I think that that is potentially doubly significant. Number one, you know, it does bring it again, you know, into the kind of orbit. You know, doubly here is like, you know, overlapping doubly, so maybe it isn't doubly. Meaning, it brings it again back into the orbit of like Kinyan Chazaka, right? Because in Kinyan Chazaka, you know, there has to be a Maisa Chazaka. Maybe part of the definition of Maisa Chazaka is that it's a provocative, you know, Horos Bailos, you know, kind of a Maisa, but of course you need that. But, you know, so it's interesting that the Rambam shifted it into Mais Chazaka, but you know, part of that—that's why I say it's an overlapping doubly. In addition to the kesher between Kinyan and Rias Chazaka, you know, part of that story itself is, as we've been trying to explain, the idea that Cheskas Gimel Shanim itself, right, for the Rambam, is the building up of Muksakos. And of course, you know, actions that trigger, you know, a mecha, you know, and therefore the potential for mecha, you know, are part, if I'm right, of what contributes to that process. But it isn't riot studies alone. So that's why, you know, for both, or for that one and a half, whatever you want to call it, for that overlapping, you know, concept, that's why the Rambam flipped it. And he made it about the Maisa Chazaka of the towing. Yeah? Okay. So that's, I think, a very good, both points are very very well made. Okay. Let's move on. So then we, you know, turned our attention to Hesses, and I want to talk about that a little bit. So I think what we saw so far
is just formulating the question, like, would there be a Shuas Heses when there's a victory in Cheskas, Gimel, Shani? So obviously there are two issues that we are touching, and each one has its additional evidence and facets. One issue is, what is the threshold? What generates a Shuas Heses? And that depends, on your perspective towards, Shuas Heses, something that we have already discussed when we're talking about towards the end of our discussion of the first parak. And we've discussed it in the past, as well. And that is there's a certain kind of understandable, complexity or dialectic, when it comes to these, questions. Because on the one hand, you would think, that the more serious, a shvua, the more that it would, also be applied. Whereas something is simply like lahafis daito shel balabayis, it's kind of like a formality, it's something that you also have to do, but it isn't really, something that we ascribe great, significance to. So it's easier to drop. I'm just repeating things I've said many, many times, but I just think it it's important to remember this always. On the other hand, there's also an ironic opposite, perspective whenever you have this kind of circumstance, and that is that, for something substantive, the threshold might need to be greater, right, for it, to register and to apply. Like, if we think that there's a real suffix, like, who is the owner, so then we're going to impose, like, a serious shvua. And the more we think that, this is just, a last-minute desperation, attempt, to stave off, defeat, but we don't really take it very, seriously. So then we'll say, well, it doesn't take much, in order to trigger this. So the relationship between, like, a substantive requirement as opposed to a more peripheral or trivial or, one, and the threshold is always going to be complex. It's always going to be dialectical. So part of the question here is, like, according to the normal canons of, like, typically a shvua, we consider a shvua to be, like, either really like a real chiyuv, certain kinds of shvuas, especially the ones, which may translate into real mamon, things about which we say, getting back to, like, naska rababa and other such things, mitok she'ena yochal ishava, meshaling. But of course you need to understand that too, and where that, how that works. So that, that's like a, seems like a very serious, what understanding of that is, like a chiyuv shvua is a chiyuv mamon, with kind of an exit strategy, with kind of a p'tur, or it's a, it's a, an alternative, it's a chiyuv to, to do one of two things. Or no, maybe it's a chiyuv levarer, which, then if you ignore, morphs into something greater, or it's like, cab, mashal. Remember my cab mashal? What's my cab mashal? Not that you're responsible for Imam Shalit, but
the paying $10.
Yeah, you go in a cab, and you only have a $10 bill, and then the guy says he has no change, but you only traveled, $3 worth. So you really only owe him $3. But you can't give them nothing, right? So, this is going to become more and more of an issue as people have, less and less cash. Some of us just walk around, with our Bitcoin, confirmations. So, so that's, so it could be it's a birur and it's never, really money, but if you can't satisfy what you owe him, then you're going to have to give him more. So you have to give him money. But whatever it is, it doesn't matter. A real shvua, there could be a range, and of course there could be difference between different types of shvuas. Certainly doraisa, in terms of the three, shvuas hashomrim, shvuas motiv mixas, shvuas eichad, it can be b'chalek.
And on the level of Shmuel Drabanan, on a Drabanan level, you have similar questions. We already talked about there being two types of, you know, Nishba Venotels, you know, and Ishtabali Delo Praticha being a particularly, you know, desperation, you know, kind of, you know, pious. But, you know, that kind of is the issue. So when it comes to Hesses, on the one hand, has, you know, the distinction of being like a Nishba of a Niftar, you know, it makes it look more, from a Tzura point of view, you know, like a Shmua Daraisa, you know, because the three Shmuas Daraisa are all Nishba of a Niftar. You know, moreover, you know, if you think that, you know, you'll apply, you know, Shmuas Heses only in cases of Dror de Mamona, right, something we talked about again in that, you know, broadly speaking, that last big topic in the first parak, you know, we were talking about Cheskas Chiyuv and things of that sort. Right? We quoted the Gemara in Shavuos, where there are two deyas in the Gemara, and then Zemachlokas, so we showed him how to paskin, already a debate in the Bali Tosis and in the Poskin, right, whether or not Shavuos Heses applies, you know, only when there's Dror de Mamona, you know, something like, you know, if I say you owe me $100, and the other guy says to me, Lahadam, I don't owe you anything. I don't know what you're talking about. You know, I never met you. It doesn't say I never met you, but this is more extreme. But basically, like, you know, there's nothing to your claim, as opposed to I paid you back. So if you, you know, the more you think, you could say, oh, well, this is such a, there are two ways to look at it again. There's such a flimsy shvua that at least you should have drawer to bone them. You know, or it goes the other way. If it's really a flimsy shvua, then who cares? All kofar bakol are the same. You know, if it's dafka b'dror de mamona, then ish dvarim b'go. It's kind of like a chaskas chiyuv. I don't know the answer to that question. I think it's clearly a debate already among the Rishonim and then among the Poskim. Both views are eminently reasonable and logical. So the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, when it comes to, there's a lot of things to say about that. You know, chazaka in adam toein, you know, Ellen Cain, you know, yeshlo. Is that really a serious consideration in Hesses, you know, or not? In the end of the day, there's only one thing we can say for certain, or definitively, and that is, there are mevararim, there are situations where you're pater, where you don't have to take a Shavuos Heses, right? And, you know, when you have a shtar, you don't have to take a Shavuos Heses. You know, when you have Edom, certainly you don't have to take a Shavuos Heses. Even when you have a shtar, or a Yidush of a shtar, you don't have to take a Shavuos Heses. Typically, you know, when you have a migu, you don't have to take a Shavuos Heses. So, given that that is the case, what about cases where you're patur, you know, where, you know, again, the more so, what you see from those three cases is that if the posture is, all things being equal, you know, right now, al pidin, there's a certainty, then there's no hesis. Hesis requires some, you know, room for suffering. But, like, how much of a safek, how soft, how hard, you know, how much Dror de Mamona, you know, that becomes a question. And, you know, therefore, there are a lot of interesting questions. So, for example, and one of the issues that actually overlaps with the issue here is that we know Ein Nishbayim like Ala Karkos, correct? Yet, the Gaonim are already of the opinion that there's Shavuos Heses Ala Karkos. And then others disagree. We'll see. That's right. You know, right here in Kasa Sabbatim. Yeah, in overlapping because of the was it Rabba Bar Shirshum, which we're going to read in just a second. I'm not going to give Lamed Aleph. You know, that's part of the story. So, you know, what's the, you know, some of them say, listen, there's no real Shvu ala karka. How can it be Hesses? And the answer is, you know, yes, that's a 50% compelling, you know, perspective, you know, but the opposite perspective is, you know, a Shvuah D'Oraisa or a real Shvuas, you know, Nishba V'Notel is something serious. So that's a real Shvuah, and Nishba V'Lakarka. But, you know, Hesses is, you know, a Taina B'Alma, you know, Hafiz Daito B'Alma, and therefore its weakness is also its strength. And therefore, Yesh Hesses, the Karka. Right? So half of the question of whether there's Hesses in Cheskas Gimel Shanim certainly, you know, it starts with the point that if you think Cheskel Kibbul Shanim is the equivalent, you know, of a Birur Gamor, you know, like Migu, like Shtar, like, you know, Eidus, you know, then the answer certainly has to be no. But again, I mean, is it? So if you ask qualitatively, you know, like to compare it to Migu, is it really comparable to Shtar and Eidus? Well, not really. Certainly not really when it comes to Eidus. As for Shtar, that gets you into the whole overlapping topic of virtual, you know, Shtar, Aydei Chazaka, meaning, is there a serious concept of Cheskas Kibbul Shanim b'makom Shtar Kaimi or Ki'ilu Nokat Shtara b'yadei? You know, we're not. Because even if that's only a legal concept, which it is, I mean, at best it's a virtual legal concept, but if it is formally the case, then you just have to plug in the criterion of Shtar. Anything less than that, right, it becomes a question more of like how convincing is this chazaka? And, you know, then especially, you know, because it is anyways or endemic to the bigger question, you know, let's compare it to, you know, its most proximate category. Namely, Stephen? Tzvi'is Metalkalin. Which is exactly, you know, again, the Rambam didn't clap on the bima and then say, you know, I'm about to speak about, you know, Shuas Hesus and Gimel Shanim, you know, in Perakin Aleph Halacha Beis, so just, you know, look at the way I'm structuring, you know, Perak Ches, you know, and Perak Yud, you know, and then read Perakin Aleph. He didn't say that, and maybe we're reading too much into it. But certainly the Rambam's framework, you know, is very suggestive. You know, and the Rambam's view, you know, is also very unequivocal, and that is that there is a requirement of Shuas Hesus in every single case where a Marakama, you know, beats a Tofes or a Machzik, and in every single case where a Machzik or a Tofes beats a Marakama, in these Prakim, according to the Rambam, there is Hesus. Is that because, you know, Cheskas Gimel Shanim is in the pattern of, or at least no stronger than, you know, Tzvi'is Metalkalin, or no, it's a common denominator din. I suspect that it's the first. Obviously, not really, you know, provable. But let's take it in a slightly different direction. Once you've answered the, you know, what's the threshold that requires Hesus question, if it's less than certainty, but, you know, also not a very, very serious, you know, chashash. So once you get past, like, is this Eidus? No. Is it Shtar? It might be virtual Shtar. Right, there's still another question, or two other questions, you know, to consider. You know, and one of them is, let's say it's Riot Studis of some sort, you know, as opposed to, well, I'm talking about now about comparing it to Tisa's, like, say, Metalkalin. So, you know, let's say Tisa's Metalkalin is Midin Tisa, you know, and Motzi Mekamaro Alav Araya, and everything that goes, you know, with that Tisa. But if Cheskas Kibbul Shanim isn't based on that, let's say it's based on, you know, Shtikas Marakama being a strong Raya, how strong? So that it's just different. And certainly you could make the case, you know, in either direction. You could say, well, there's not even any Tvisa or Mukzakus, and therefore it's less than Tvisas Metalkalin. But you could also make the case that it's stronger than Tvisas Metalkalin because it's not based on Motzi Mechivar Olam Araya at all. You know, it's based on Araya. It's like more comparable, if you will, to Migu. Right? There's an independent Birur, or at least Achra, maybe Birur, that, you know, let's say Birur, if it's Shtika Samar Kama, that this belongs to you. So maybe that's better. And that certainly is the view we'll get to in a few minutes, that certainly, you know, explicitly is kind of what the Nesiva says. in Siman, what is it? Kuf Mem, right? There's another possibility too, and that is that even if we're dealing with, you know, apples and apples, you know, meaning not Tfisa compared with Shtika Smara Kama, you know, as a Riot Sadis, but let's say we're dealing with Muxakos. But what is the relationship, you know, between the Muxakos of Gimel Shanim, if that's really what's happening, and the Tvisa of Talpin? So once again, it's not, you know, it's not like I'm looking for trouble, you know, it just seems to find me. But the relationship between these two, you know, is hardly, you know, obvious, you know, and you know, it's hardly clear. On the one hand, you know, the ability to, you know, create Muxakos is much, much easier, you know, in Metaltalin, as we know, because it's physical, you know, and everything that we've discussed already, you know, about that. So you can make a strong case, and this is, affects not only Hesis, it affects, you know, other issues, you know, too, which we'll look at, including some things, again, that Rabbeinu Yonah already brought up and others. Do you need a Taina? Or do you need to explicate your Taina? You know, things of that sort. And other things we got to. What about Migu? Migu b'makom, you know, Tfisa, and Migu b'makom, you know, Cheskas Gimel Shanim. Anyway, so from one point of view, in terms of the ease of you know, triggering it, Metaltalin is superior. On the other hand, you know, again, its superiority, you know, or the ease, I'm sorry, with which it's accomplished, you know, may be double-edged. You know, on the one hand, it's more easily accomplished. On the other hand, the more rigorous process needed, you know, to create an equivalent in karka, if you can, the keskas karka, may end up being more formidable, more powerful, because the strength of Tfisas Metaltalin is also its weakness, namely that it's purely, you know, physical. And, you know, that's a very powerful thing, you know, but, you know, if it takes longer, you know, to engender the Kesher to Karka, but the Kesher to Karka, you know, is maybe more profound because it's a more, you know, permanent commodity, you know, in terms of, you know, its stature, not just more permanent, but, you know, the significance of Karka philosophically, halakhically, hashkafically, as opposed to Metaltalin. You know, so the ability to, like, build a relationship with, you know, you can never fully, you know, be toe-face it or control it, but maybe, you know, the bond that you develop, or at least the way that you are perceived by others as a bailim, or as a muksak in a bailim, you know, is, you know, when you accomplish it, makes it more, you know, formidable, because it isn't just, you know, limited, you know, to the physical aspect of it. Okay, so I've been speaking very abstractly, so let's go into the actual shitas. But basically, to sum up what I'm saying, is that there are two questions when we analyze the relationship, when we analyze the question whether there is a shuas heses when you are a victor in keskas gimel. One is a heses question, which is complicated. Namely, we know that certainty, you know, precludes heses. And certain types of rayas, you know, are perceived that way. When we're not dealing with that level, you know, is Hesus's, you know, weakness, call it, you know, reason to, you know, apply it, you know, more aggressively, or the opposite? And what is that threshold? So that's question number one. And the parallel of Einish Boim ala Karkos is a great. And there are more, but that's a great example of that issue. And then you have the second question, and that is to assess the victory of Cheskas Gimel Shanim, you know, against Marakama, and to assess it against Tfisas Metaltalin. And that entails several things. Number one, how seriously can you entertain the notion of Cheskas Gimel Shanim B'Mokom Shtar Taimi, a kind of a virtual shtar. That's one very important issue, which clearly is part of the story. And even if you don't have that, maybe there are technical questions, which we'll get back to, that I didn't mention yet. But the other, you know, things to consider is, what about Rayat Studis as opposed to Tvisas Metaltalin, in either direction, but probably in favor of Rayat Studis. And what about, even on an apple-to-apples level, the Chazaka of Gimel Shanim as a Chazaka, Muxakos, as opposed to Tvisas Metaltalin, you know, which one, are they equivalent, you know, like some Lashonos, are they different, and if they are different, in which direction are they different? Is Tvisas Metaltalin superior, the Haraya, it's physical, you know, it's immediate, you know, etc. So there's a certain clear, you know, capacity, you know, for it, or the opposite, you know, the hard work that you invest that allows you to overcome, let's say, karkas, you know, inhospitable, you know, initial status or stature vis-a-vis, you know, tvisa. Once you overcome that, you know, you develop something more serious and significant and profound, and that would be another reason why, even if there is heses b'metaltalin, there wouldn't be heses b'cheskas karka. Of course, that's separate from the other question, which is, oh, maybe there's just no heses b'karka, if you disagree with that view of the Gaonim, you know, and the Rambam, which is just Einish v'ayim alei karko applies even to heses. That's like a, you know, that's a factor, but of course that's not the conceptual question that we're dealing with. Yeah?
What disadvantage would there be in extending heses to things like Aiden and Shtar? Why wouldn't we do that?
I think because of what I said before, which is, and a little bit of what I've said in the past, meaning, to the extent that there's a din vadai, you know, heses is not a factor. And I think that the, you know, when it goes to this point, which is, like, why do we treat edus or certain rayos as vadai? You know, and I think that the, you know, kind of, in the case of edus is a, you know, an objective, you know, appreciation that it's something to rely on, but I think that there's also this idea of cheskas kashrus, you know, and this you know, kind of linchpin idea that so much of, like, you know, Masora, or, you know, certainty in general, like you know in the world of philosophy, like, you know, skepticism, and that's something that can eat away at, I don't mean it only in a behavioral and a pragmatic way, but saying fundamentally, like, oh, like, how can you trust your senses? How can you trust? So, you know, halacha has, like, an aspect of that in, like, you know, can you trust, you know, witnesses? So as I've said many times, on the one hand, like, we have very high standards for edus, you know, Moshe Aaron Achenheim, and things like that, the low plugs, you know, that. But I think that these are two sides of a single coin, in that, like, the very high standards are there because, like, this is a very necessary, you know, that's why I think Hazama is perceived to be so offensive. That's how I understand the comment of the Sefer HaKinuch. You know, because, again, you're corrupting, you know, and in a kind of particularly cynical way, like this linchpin, you know, of, you know, Torah and Masorah, and also, you know, Cheskas Kashrus of people, you know, that we rely on. So I think the idea is that there are certain institutions of Birur, you know, that by definition are Vadai. And to even, like, you know, even that, you know, desperation, you know, okay, so throw him a bone, Lahafistaitel Shabalabayas. If that's going to be, you know, at the expense of Eidus, like, we don't mind so much that it's the expense of the Nitzvah, you know, but we're not going to allow it to eat away in any way, you know, because implicitly, you know, what you're saying is, there's a shemetz of a doubt. Like, if there's no shemetz of a doubt, then why do I have to be mafis daito of the guy who's lying, or who at least is, you know, is not you know, on the side of justice. So I think that also could carry through to things like Migu, and that could carry through to...
I partially wonder, like, if even if you treated Cheskes Gimel Shanim,
yeah,
like Eidus, you still might say that absent, like the broader considerations of Eidus, we'd still apply Cheskes.
Well, I would say the only exception might be, and I guess I'm sticking with what I'm saying because I think it's true. But the only really interesting kind of exception that there might be would be things like we encountered in, like when we talk about Eidus, let's say, like in Shtar Chabiyani, my boy. Now, let's say you have something which Al Pidin is Eidus, but there's also a very clear understanding that it's a different kind of Eidus. It's an Eidus which, when challenged, you know, is not a challenge to Eidus, but is basically a determination that, you know, that the Chiddush of extending this as Eidus, that Chiddush doesn't apply, you know, in this case. Like, you know, if Eidim are coming and they're saying, you know, Parua, or the very, very strong, you know, Chazaka, you know, that says, you know, Parua, so what we're saying is, Eino Eidim, you know, we don't say, you know, that the Eidus of Lo Parua in Shtar Chabiyani, my boy, assuming it's Eidus, I mean, Reb Chaim-esque, you know, we don't apply Eidim Aksum al Sharnas Kamishnach Reidusim Mevezdin, you know, in that case. But that's different. That not saying, oh, there are Eidios which require, or which are open to doubt, and there are Eidios which are not. What I'm saying is there are Eidios that are, you know, questionable whether they're really Alpidin Eidus, and so they're only default Eidus under certain conditions. You know, because they're leaning on certain umdenaos, you know, or whatever as well, you know. And but once you have the institution, you know, the idea that, you know, throwing them a bone in this case is dangerous, because it or is just dishonest, because there's not that level of suffering. Yeah.
Is maybe like the backup, Josh? That's like what the Rush is saying, that even though if you say that Eidus is Chazakas B'Makom Shtar, you still have to
take Shavuos. I think the Rush, we'll get to the Rush in a couple of minutes, hopefully, but I think the Rush is more saying, I don't know what you're talking about, you know, when you say, we're not talking about virtual Shtar, you know, we're just talking about his Dorinish, you know, Bishtari and the Reyes. That's what I think the Rush is saying. But I do think that one could say that idea. When I was like reading the Rush, I was thinking as you were, then I'm looking at the language, I don't believe that's what he's saying. But I do think that you could say, meaning, even if you take, and this is a good hara, I was just going to leave it for later, what Josh is saying is, even if you take, you know, a virtual shtar idea, right, in the end of the day, the virtual shtar idea is a little bit, a lot, you know, innovative. Because, you know, again, we can account for the absence of a reyesa. The absence of a reyesa does not a shtar, you know, make, right? So, you know, clearly, if you want to say, oh, but al pidin, it's like you have a shtar. That's the din of cheskes gimel shanim. So, yeah, number one, you need to explain a little bit better, which I'm going to try to do in a minute, in light of things that we just said. But I think, in the end of the day, you may end up with, you know, a combination of the, you know, both Josh's, you know, ha'ara, which is great. Chazaka, you know, is a virtual shtar, but it's still only a virtual shtar because we believe that the cheskes gimel shanim and the shtika and all those things, you know, are a very strong indication, you know, that there really was a mechira, which means that he probably had a shtar. And therefore, if you could somehow, you know, target that part of it, you know, you just don't get to the end, and it'll be similar to what I just said about Shtar Chabiyani, my book. That's kind of what you're saying. I just don't think the Rush means that. We'll look again when we get to language in Gimel Yud Zayin, but I do think, you know, that is, like, you could hold, in theory, you know, a virtual Shtar, and still hold that there's reason for Hesses because of that kind of sweet spot, like in the, even though that's not the view clearly of the Rashbam, and it's not the view of the Ra, you know, etc.
Is that because they think the default is that the Mosak is he has like the
They take very seriously, in other words, more seriously, and then whether it's a catch 22 or the, you know, maybe they think the raya to begin with is stronger and therefore triggers, you know, this virtual shtar. But yeah, I mean, they're definitely, I mean, that's what the Rashbam said. The Rashbam uses that language, and the Ra'ah, you know, very much uses that language. But I think that that is a very, like, if you find Rishonim who, when it comes to Hesses, think there's Hesses, and yet in some of the other sugyas take more seriously the idea of a virtual shtar, I think they would be telling you, yeah, you know, it's a virtual shtar, you know, propped up by the close to certainty of the Chazaka, which needs a little extra push, you know, of the Shulas Hesses. So I do think that's a great point. Okay. Shai, you had a question before, or we took care of it?
It was on Rabbi Yeshua, so...
It was on Rabbi Yeshua. Okay, sorry about that, because you got me afterwards. Okay, good. So let's talk about actual shitas for the moment. So one thing to note, you know, to begin with, just a small hara, is that, like, is there any objective evidence in the Gemara that, like, Cheskas Gimel Shanim, you know, remains, even when you win, that Cheskas Gimel Shanim, you know, remains a safek, or is the resolution, it's the hachra of the safek, you know, rather than the birur, let's say that there isn't a safek. Ah. Any evidence on that? So here, not even looking so much for, like, legal, you know, evidence, you know, which also might be complicated by, you know, what the application is, although of course we're interested in that. I mean, that's what this question is, in a way, right? Is there certainty? And if there's, you know, not, then there's room, depending on the threshold, for Hesses. Okay, but I'm looking for linguistically, you know, for the moment. Yeah?
One half out of the best is Del Malkit Gamarihu.
Correct. So, again, what's the line there? Exactly what you said. The Gemara, but what's the... So
we're discussing all these, why you would assume that.
Excellent.
You could have Hazaka below Taina.
Excellent.
And we say that, no, the way it works is that...
The Gemara had a Havamina that Chazaka Belitaina would also be good enough.
Right.
And then the Gemara says, nah, come on. I mean, part of the issue here is to believe, you know, that this took place. What's the line again?
Time of my, Namrinam Delbaki the Kamar. Ashta Yilotan, Anam Bitonai.
Yeah. So there, you know, the Gemara doesn't say, you know, that if he's Toein, it's a Badai. Correct? They say if he's Toein, then you know we can believe him, right? Al Pidin. But it doesn't say if he's Toein, it's true. Oh, so this already is a very important line, and it definitely flies in the face of people who say that Cheskas Gimel Shanim is a Vadai, or we treat as a Vadai, right? So what are you going to say about that? If you want to, let's say for the Rambam, Udi'imei.
You could focus on the
Lashon
about it being like a star.
Well, okay. So number one thing you could just say straight out, and I do think that language is important, obviously. I will have to talk about that also, look a little bit at how Rabbeinu Yonah reads that language. I don't know if I gave it that in Mar Makomos or not. I think so. Did I? Lamed Avraham? Yeah, Rabbeinu Yonah there. Yeah, good. I know definitely the Rashbam.
Yeah,
the
Rashbam does this. Yeah.
Okay, so so number one, you could say, which I think is what Mark's saying, that so there's a machlokas, there's conflicting evidence, there's a Gemara that seems to say that even after Cheskas Gimel Shanim, you know, we're not sure, you know, we're just, you know, relying. But there's another Gemara which says that it's like shtar. Now of course the Gemara on Lamed that says it's like shtar, you know, that's part of, you know, the story, is a great formulation, you know, to take out of context, and to think that since the Gemara uses that language and it could be taken out of context, you know, therefore it is, you know, meaningful and substantive too, but given the context, could be easily dismissed, as we've already noted. How so, Mark?
The Gemara, they're just arguing it's maximally not better than a shtar.
Correct. The Gemara is saying, listen, when you challenge a shtar, you have to defend it. So, you know, Kol Shekain, and that might be, you have to have two pshatim in Rabbeinu Yonah, kind of in that direction. Kol Shekain, right, that you know, that a chazaka. So instead of saying that the Gemara is equate, the Gemara is saying even something with greater, you know, certainty. I can say, well, why do you? I mean, shtar is edus. It goes back to our point. Shtar is edus, you know, but there's always a bit of a catch 22, right? It's edus because of edem aksum al shtar nasi kemes shilach ro edus of abesed. But if you're challenging, you know, its authenticity, you know, then maybe it's just a piece of paper, you know, with some ink on it, right? So, but right. So if you take the language of the Gemara, great. But if you, you know, understand that that Gemara is actually flipping the other way, the Gemara is saying even a shtar, you know, is vulnerable. So Cheskas Gimel Shanim is going to be vulnerable. Okay, so it's actually talking about both being vulnerable rather than neither being vulnerable. But still, it's something to think about. There's no question in my mind. I mean, based on language and on the Alatar and Lamed Aleph and Aleph. That Gemara, according to many Rishonim, was impactful because it is one of the most explicit, you know, Gemara. Again, you also have to look at, you know, Sanhedrin Chav Gimel Amud Beis, and you know, Rav Vasra Kuf Samach Tes, you know, Shtar. I'm sorry, Chazaka, you know, Mikoach Shtar, you know, Kaasi in Sarah Gemara. We'll talk about that as well, and numerous other examples. But I think that there's something else to say here. Josh, sounds like you're raring to say.
No, I thought that the Gemara was like more in like the litigation, but like once we...
What do you mean the litigation?
Meaning it's in terms of figuring out if we're
Mihokei Usha, it's like a moving, it's like, because it's so dynamic?
Which one should be right? But I'm saying once we decide that we give it to the Machzik, we treat it like a...
No, but I mean the Gemara is saying, no, it's saying Hokei Usha are correct, but Hokei Usha still need a Taina because... you know, the guy will win, you know, but you need a taina because we have to be able to walk away and say, you know, that, you know, likely this is what happened, but they're still using the word likely. So I don't think it's that. It's not that, but it is something else. You know, I thought, you know, similar. Eitan?
Maybe Okay,
Usha,
or the whole
basis,
just like Mozart, because Rav Tisa
correct. Holche Usha, this goes to the heart of, you know, one of what we've been talking about, which is there are different models in the Gemara, potentially. I mean, the inclination of some of the Farshim, you know, is to, you know, homogenize the whole thing. Or, you know, to take one, you know, perspective and you know, and see it, you know, as the unified, you know, theory. You know, so again, like Bafra Bali Tosis, you know, even Holche Usha is Cheskas Shaska, you know. And for maybe other Rishonim, it goes the other way. Even Holche Usha, you know, is Maisa Chazaka, and everything is Maisa Chazaka. Fine. But it's certainly conceivable that, you know, the model of Holche Usha, you know, is fundamentally different than that of Rabba Kamaisa, just like it might be true that Rabba Kamaisa is different than Rabba Basraisa. Right? So, if part of the question is like, what, is this based on Tzvisas Metalkalin? Right? Maybe Holche Usha is closer to that. Is it based on Riot Studies? You know, maybe that's only introduced with Rabba Kamaisa, like Rabban thinks, unlike the Bali Tosis. So, meaning, for the Bali Tosis who think that Cheskas Shaskin is big all over, I think that Gemara is very telling. Bali Tosis on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, I think you do require a Hasas. For the Rambam, I'll say it this way, who, in the opposite way, right, for Bali Tosis, you know, even Holche Usha is Cheskas Shaskin, like I said before. For the Rambam, even the Ravas are, you know, a more complicated version of Holche Usha. Namely, it's about establishing a chazaka. Right? So I would say for Bali Tosis and for the Rambam, you know, when the Gemara says about Holche Usha, you know, that there remains doubt, you know, that's consequential for Hasas. However, let's say you were to take the view of the Rishonim, you know, that there's a huge gap between these. You know, either in terms of, you know, riot stops introduced by Rabbi Kamaisa, maybe even reinforced by Rabbi Basraisa, right? Or, you know, some sort of an idea like I was just talking about before, exploring a little before, which is, oh no, you develop a cheskas karka. Cheskas karka is different than cheskas metalkalin. Maybe it's harder to develop, but once you develop it, you know, it's also more formidable and more convincing. You know, it's more arduous to establish that kind of, you know, muchzakos labailus, through homroas bailus, not just through physical tfisa. You know, but once you've done that, maybe they're not comparable. And maybe Holcheusha just thought, you know, that it was like tfisas metalkalin. No better. So then, you know, or virtual shtar, as I say. If like virtual shtar is introduced by Rabbi Basraisa, that's one way to read it, maybe. Nizdar Renish Bishtare. Or and either reinforced by or introduced on Navlam and Amin Aleph, you know, even though the application is not convincing for reasons that we just said, because it's in the other opposite direction. But at least, but maybe the formulation, you know, is, right? So then what does this have to do with? No one thinks that Holcheusha, you know, is virtual shtar. So for Holcheusha, it's about some sort of a tfisa. Okay? So you need a taina, because we have to be able to believe that this, you know, that this is really what happened. And even after, you know, we award victory, it's based on Motzi Mechavero, Alamaraya. Any victory based on Motzi Mechavero, Alamaraya, whether it's the Marikamas or the Maksiks, in the end of the day, is always subject to Shavuos Asses. Because that Motzi Mechavero Alamaraya is not a Badai. It could be a high threshold in terms of the burden of proof. You know, in some cases, there may be a Raya component. But in the end of the day, it's a, you know, it's a status quo kind of rule. So that would eliminate the problem of Okay. So it's just interesting that the Magen Mishnah, you know, again, I wouldn't make too much of it, but as we noted, the Magen Mishnah in Perek Aleph Halakha base quotes the Machlokes and says Ein Raya Ben Talmud. Of course, there's no Raya specifically about Hesses, but you know, what do you do with that Gemara Kof Chesed and base? So that's a point that I wanted to make. The main, I guess, you know, struggle here revolves a lot around the Gemara on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. So we should get that in on the record too. What is the Gemara in Lamed Mark? Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. It starts on what is it? Lamed. It's just the case, famous case of Rabba Bar Sharshu, right?
Yeah.
Even though again we'd like to cover, you know, some of the famous cases, even if we're not, you know, necessarily on that daf, but, you know, hopefully, like, whether it's Nun Zion or Lamed Hay or Lamed Bav, you know, hear a little bit on Lamed Beis on Beis, Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, or Lamed Amud Aleph, so we should get, like, you know, familiarity with the whole parak, you know, with the parts of daf mem we discussed a lot earlier, you know, in the first parak, you know, certainly in terms of Sudar, but we'll get back to that, and certainly some of the Mecha issues we've already discussed, so La'at. Okay. So, yeah, what's the... there's a famous... Some of these cases in Kasabatam are just like, you know, Kravi Duravidi Baralin, or, you know, this one, Rava Bar Sharsho. No, they're just like, you know, these are you know, Naskar Baba, of course. So Rava Bar Sharsho, this is one of the famous ones.
Yeah.
It's a very fascinating case. Yeah, what happened?
Rava Bar Sharsho, not like Kaladika Akal Ara Yasmin.
Oh.
Amalei Abaye...
Like, what's going on here? What do you mean? He's right? He's consuming Yisomin property. Yeah. Amalei.
Ara b'mashkanta avanakidna miyabuhon diyakri.
So there are two debts, right? He has a debt from the father, and he has another debt, you know, and the mashkan came to him for debt number one, but debt number two, he knows in his heart of hearts, or just in his heart, you know, he knows it to be true. He just doesn't have, you know, evidence, right? So what happened?
Is that first debt finished?
So debt number one is done. You know, But he's decided he wants to. Yeah, go ahead. Imahadarna la'ara liyasmi.
Imahadarna la'ara liyasmi. Vamina disnizi achrine gabi avucho. And Rabbana, by from this, he's only for Allah b'shvua.
Right?
He didn't want to take a shvua.
He doesn't want to take a shvua. People are queasy about taking shvuos even when they tell the truth. There's a certain, like, you know, Yerushamayim that, you know, like, don't want to do that. You don't want to trivialize it or whatever it is. Comes from a good place, in other words. Go ahead. Ella.
Ella. Ach b'shei l'shtar d'shtar mashkanta.
What does ach b'shei mean?
I mean, I'm going to hide the shtar.
Right, I'll suppress it or hide it. Go ahead.
Show the end of the mashkanta. Ochla shir zuzei, and I'm going to keep eating the land as if.
Until I pay off the second debt.
Right. Migo di'iva ina mina kuhi biyadi mehemna. Kian mina di'isti zuzigapaifu mehemna.
Right. I could have said, you know, lekucha hibiyadi. I can nazcheskes kimmel shanim, and therefore, since I, you know, am admitting this, right? Oh, okay. So then the Gemara says, "Amarle, it's not so simple." We'll get back to this. Lekucha biyadi lematzis amres. Go ahead.
The hadika amakala de ardeyasmi. You've been made lekucha anyways. You're only going to fall apart.
So actually, there's a very interesting. Oh, the next one is Kravi Dravivi Vidi Baram. Yeah, all these cases are just like off the charts famous. But what, you know, it's a very interesting issue. Maybe we'll talk about it a little bit more on Sunday. You know, about this, the, you know, the a parallel question, and that is, can you have Cheskas Gimel Shanim? You know, Keneged a Kol. Right? I mean, the simple reading of the Gemara here is, you know, since it's a kol, the aradiyasmi he, you know, cheskas gimel shanim doesn't work. Not all rishonim think that that is true. You have to look at the Ravid and the Rajba, you know, the Balei Tosis, because in a way a kol is, you know, the clash between a kol and a cheskas gimel shanim is also a Torah Benitan, you know, issue. So it could revolve, you know, around the strength of overcoming call. But it also could be a parallel to what we're discussing, and that is how compelling is Cheskas Gimel Shanim when you have it. Is it a virtual shtar? Even if it's not, is it very compelling? Right? Okay. Either way, this is a Gemara. What does this have to do with what we're talking about? We're going to stop in like 2 more minutes, and then we'll finish with this Mirat Hashem Sunday. And then you also look, you know, we'll do the virtual star stuff a little bit, including the Sanhedrin and the Babasra just quickly. But, yeah, so what's the issue here? How does this come up?
Well, it seems like Rabbi Bar Sharsha thought that his, what he could have made, meaning his Migo, would have bothered him from Yeshua, and that's why he felt confident not taking Yeshua. But the issue is that his claim of Kucha might itself need.
If he's going to, right, he wanted to avoid a shvua, so what's he going to do? He's going to claim, or he could have claimed, you know, cheskas gimel shanim. The question is, yeah, but if he had claimed cheskas gimel shanim, he would have had to take a shvua. So either way, he has to take a shvua. He doesn't get, you know, that's not how a migu works. Migu means that, you know, I had a better claim, and therefore you should believe me. But if my better claim includes a requirement, you know, I can't eliminate, you know, that required component, you know, in the, you know, in the result of the migu. That doesn't make any sense. Oh, or it seems not to make any sense. And also, we have this in the Gemara and the other places, in Daf Ayin and the Bavasra, the famous case with the Sharka B'yani Mayboy, where you'd have to take a shvua. So what's the whole benefit? Ah, so here you have the Rashbam, right? Who says what?
Yeah, so he gives.
Yeah, you can read the Rashbam.
He just doesn't have enough below Shavua. So first, the Einish Ban on Karkos.
Oh, so number one, Einish Ban on Karkos. Okay, we're something we spoke about before. The assumption being even Shavua Sassus. Okay, the Ode. This is the Rashbam Lashitaso. All over the place, the Rashbam, you know, throws in, you know, gratuitously, where it's not in the Gemara, you know, he's very comfortable with that phrase. And here it's a loaded phrase, because it's basically saying there would be a hesis, but just like there's no hesis when there's a shtar, there's no hesis when there's keskes gimel shanim. Why? Because keskes gimel shanim b'makom shtar kaim. So there, this is the Rajbam. He's like the Abi Avos of this. So either there's no hesis b'karka, or there's no hesis the keskes gimel shanim, but because of b'makom shtar kaima. In the Ritva, the beginning of the Masechta, right, of course he quotes this Rashbam. He also says this is Shitas Hara'ah. And there I think he has like a double formulation. You have there? I think he also says that maybe B'makom Edim, right? This is also interesting. Yeah, if you have it. Yeah. So that's very interesting that he also adds that it's like Edim, meaning like, wow. Okay. What are the Rishonim who, like the Rambam, what do they do with all this? Well, number one, they have to assume that Nishbayim has a Salakarka. That's one issue. And that's the issue in the Gaonim. That's what the Rambam holds anyways. Right? Obviously, he doesn't think it's, you know, B'makom Shtar or K'makom Edus, etc. What does Tosa say? Dibba Maso Migu?
Yeah, so he says, meaning it can't be that we're talking about Shvud Raisa, because that would be a Shvua on a Karka. That works fine if the Shvud Rabbanim. Amadim Rabbanim Nishban. What did Shvua Sessis?
Yeah, so again, of course, Shvua Sessis might be better, might be worse. Right. The Mai Shna means Shno Shna, you know. Shno Shna, and, you know, it could be worse, and it could be better. But, you know, the idea of comparing Shvua Sessis to Shvua Rabbanim, meaning Ben Nikitas Chayfetz Nishma Benotel, is highly questionable here. Correct? Okay. I mean, if it's all a question of the Raisa Drabanan, they're both Drabanan, but if it's about the quality and, you know, the nature of the Chiyub Lavarer and so on, or Pius and all those issues, you know, then there's a lot to say. Okay.
Could it be more? Have you read that one?
What?
Like that Rav Shashi was okay with making a Shavuos Hesis, but he wasn't okay with taking a Shavuos Hesis.
Yeah, that's actually a great point. That's a great point. Does anybody say that?
I think one of your Rishonim calls it out, like says you can't say that explicitly.
You can't say that. I don't remember that. Who said that?
The Rush.
Oh, the Rush has that in Simeon Zion also?
What?
There's no difference. Okay. I do think that would have been a way to read the Gemara. Okay. What does Tosa say? Yeshlomar?
They don't know. They're just saying maybe it's not.
Right.
If you really did make them ego, we'll have a tzayach shuvas hasis.
Oh. So basically, there are in the Rishonim there are like three major shitas. Okay. One is the Rajbam, who just says that there's no shuvas hasis in general when it's keskes gimel shanim. We'll see. There are more, obviously, more nuances. The b'makom shtar, whatever. Then you have the Ritva b'makom edim b'makom shtar, maybe. Another formulation, by the way, appears in the Ramban, Yir Al Atar, and the Rashba repeats it in the Atshuva, and that is that it's not based on the comparison to edus, it's not based on the comparison to shtar, but it's based on what? Anybody? On the word chazaka, which is fascinating. Like, you know, what? Like, it says, anybody have language in the Ramban? And the Rajban and Tshuva also has this. But the Rajban and Tshuva is very complicated because the Rajba here, and in other places, and in other Tshuvos, takes the majority view, you know, which is that there is a Shvuas Heses. You know, the only thing is, you know, only Ayyidei Bari, not Ayyidei Tanina. In the Tshuva, LF, whatever it was that I gave you, Kufsamach Dalid, right there he actually holds that Ein Nishbay. Right? That there's no Hesus. But the reason there's no Hesus there is like the reason that the Ramban rejects here, which is that since that the language of Chazaka implies like this is a, you know, serious. You have it there? Have it? Here, on Lamed Gimel Bet Aleph. Yeah, you have it? Say again? Meaning it's a strong, it strengthens your position. So, of course, this is something that troubled, you know, let's say the Rush, namely, like, what's a Demaishna, what? One of the most important things the Rush does is he's the one who actually, you know, says, like, Maishna, you know, Tvisas Metaltalin, and Cheskas Karka. You know, okay, so the word Chazaka, so, you know, that's an interesting question. Like, usually we use the word Tvisa, you know, when it comes to Metaltalin. It's Chazaka when it comes to Karka. Like, what's in the name? You know, so, the view that says that Hesus, you know, will not apply, you know, because of the language Chazaka, you know, obviously thinks that you know, phrase is... So again, is that a way of saying Raya studies? Seem like it. Sounds like, you know, the Chazaka is stronger than the Tvisa. Again, the Rush dismisses it. Anybody have the language of the Rush? Josh, you had it before? Yeah. The Mishnah? And some in your Zayin. Here. And then we are going to stop after this. Let me just say one other thing and then we'll stop. Then we'll pick up with this and finish this part and the other, you know.
Mistama?
What?
The line where it says Mistama?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure, yeah. Yeah, the ode is Mistam al Cheskas Karkos Nishbaim, Kemosha Nishbaim, al Cheskas Metaltalin. Right? Kedamrin and Bishvuos. Had Amr Manalibi Adachat said, Ravam Rav Nachman Allah, and Majbin also Shvuos Hesses. Ukemo, this is interesting, Shetiknu Shvua al Kfiras Metaltalin, Huhadin al Kfiras Karkos. So the Rush, you know, is directly connecting, you know, these two issues. And then he has an interesting line, like the lo mistaber lechalek shiny metalton to shaykh v'shvua daraisa the motive of mikzas hilka chaba machmas chazaka tzarek shvua right nay the chazaka b'mokum shtar omedas haina leaves with the line that Josh mentioned lina zesh ein motzi na karka mitachas yado de la motzi liz dahuri b'shtar oliola. So I think that there is there's a lot in these words. Okay, number one, I mean he's the one who's introducing, you know, the relationship between Karka and the Papal in here, and he's weighing, you know, maybe you'll be Michalik. So why would you be Michalik? So the direct suggestion is a really curious one that he dismisses, and that is, oh, to begin with, like, you know, Einish Boyin, you know, a la Karkos. So even if you are going to be Nishba, let's say, Hesses, you know, on Karka, you know, since there's no Shvua Doraisa on Karka, you know, that, so even applying the Shvua Hesses Darabanan, you know, will be affected by it. In other words, Metaltalin is like, you know, Shvua, you know, you know, oriented, and the harai and the shvua daraisa, and therefore even the shvua hesses, you know, will be applied, you know, more, you know, with less, let's say, you know, of a basis. But when it comes to karka, you know, which is fundamentally not nitan l'shvua, even though it is nitan l'shvuas hesed, otherwise you just give that answer, right? So, but we're also going to limit. It's going to have to be, you know, in circumstances, you know, where there's a much stronger suffix or something like that. So you're not suggesting a chiluk here between cheskas metalkalin. I'm sorry, tfisas metalkalin and cheskas karka. He's suggesting that the fact, you know, that nishboim malakar, ein nishboim malakar kos, and nishboim al metalkalin affects even hesas, even though nishboim hesas alakar. Right? And then he says, no, I don't believe in that. Then, implicitly, you know, he challenges the Rashbam by saying, ah, you're going to tell me that, you know, maybe the difference is that cheskas karka is more formidable than tvisas metalkalin because it's b'mokom shtar omeid, right? Which is what the Rashbam says, and what the Ra ends up saying. He's saying, no, that I don't believe in either. I think that the words, right? Nehi, like this is point number two. The chazaka b'makom shtar omedes, like the Gemara. Einu le'inyan ze she'ein motzi nakarka mitachas yado mishum de lo motzi lizdori b'shtar li'olam. Right, that doesn't mean that it's more badai. It's just a very narrow, you know, discussion about the reisa of, you know, izdorin b'shtar. We don't think that there's a virtual shtar. Again, Josh wanted to suggest something different. I like what Josh, and the combination of the Josh has suggested. I just don't think that that's what the Rosh has said. Okay. The olam shvua boy. So, what emerges is that there's a group of Rishonim that say there's no shvuas hesis, either because of edus or shtar, probably combined, or because it's, you know, chazak, or language chazaka, that implies that it's, you know, there's a difference between tvisas metalkalin and cheskas karka. That, I think, could be explained either on the basis of riot studies, which is what the Nesiva says, which we'll get back to, but he says more than that, or maybe based on the idea that even though it's easier to accomplish tvisas metalkalin, you know, once you invest in the effort and you accomplish, you know, cheskas karkos, maybe actually it is more compelling. Maybe not just more compelling, maybe it just even works in a different way, etc. So there are numerous. I should also mention that the Bach, and with this I'll stop, I'll just talk to the other side for 1 second. The Bach here is another suggestion to be mechalik between the kark and the felkalin, based on the factor of ishtamute kamishtame. 1 second. Do you have the Bach here? Hagos HaBach, right? Near Bianai Tema, the Adaraba, Mash Mahasam, the Dafka, Becheskas Metaltalin, Afagav, the Chazaki, Enomez, Pan of Lichbar, Hakol, Ikalamemar, ishtamute kamishtame. So this is always, there's more of an ishtamute problem in Metaltalin, right, because you lost it, you lent it, you know, you don't have it. You know, there's no ishtamute kamishtamid in karka. So the idea that, you know, maybe a shvua will help you in metalkalin, you know, but, you know, it's less likely to help you in karka is reasonable. So but ada havalu zuzi pranilo te davichule v'kimidika chazok enim taveil im ken yishlo mashbi in hasas aval karka delo shayich ishtamute. Lo nitkenu ein sham softaf mem chen hiksha smag, etc. So there are some, you know, the suggestion the Rosh himself, you know, rejects, and this Bach are like more technical reasons to be mechalik between karka betalta. But I'm suggesting that, you know, depending on how you want to say it, cheskas kimoshanim, that may be more fundamental. On the other side, the majority view is that there is hesas bekarka, and there is hesas becheskas kimoshanim. Some of the Rishonim say because of the equation with Tvisas Metalkalin. It sounds a little bit like that also in the Rush. Is the Rush saying that they're the same? Or is he saying that, you know, Kol Shekein or parallel? Right, we'll see. Hard to know. And then there are Rishonim who are Mechalek. Some Rishonim say that there is Heses even if it's taninan. It sounds that way in the Rambam. Rambam speaks about Yarshim. Some of the Rishonim to get out of the Gemara, that is their mechalek between taninan and tainas bari. Of course, this distinction between taninan and tainas bari goes to a bigger question, which we've touched on a few times, like when do you say psak picha le'ilem, and is taninan, as they say, kind of a safek, or is it like a, you know, a safek vadai, or a projection, you know, so that goes on that list, like, you know, when do you and don't you say, you know, taninan. Okay, we'll stop here, but I want to continue with this in terms of especially the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, and the discussion of the Sma, the Nesivos, etc. And then I want to, like, again, go back to virtual star just a little more as well. Okay? It's all this on Sunday. Okay,